Phoenix voters said yes to six propositions on the ballot yesterday, but on a ballot where one side had a list of names and political parties, the other had long lines of fine print, it might have been a bit of a mystery as to what citizens actually voted for. Jessica Boehm, Phoenix City Hall reporter for the Arizona Republic, wrote a handy guide to the six propositions before the election. She's here now to break down what passed and what happens next. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like the measure that got the most attention was what is lovingly called consolidated elections. Basically means that Phoenix City elections will be held not in odd-numbered years, but lined up with other elections in even-numbered years. And this one passed fairly handily, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It appears well on its way to passing. And what that will do is it's not consolidated elections in the traditional sense. Usually when you talk consolidated elections, you're saying that you'll have the city elections in August and November if a runoff is necessary. What Phoenix will do is have their elections in November when everyone else is having general elections. And then if they need to do a runoff, they will do that in March instead.
Now, there are also a couple of other propositions on the ballot yesterday that were sort of referenced to Prop 411 that also needed to pass. Is that right?
Yeah. So the way that it's been described to me is they don't have to pass for consolidated elections to take effect, but they would be handy in making sure that consolidated elections is accomplished in a timely way. So basically, there were just a few technical changes to the charter, which, if you look at the voting results, it seems like voters may have been confused as to what some of those technical changes did.
Jessica, there's also an issue on the ballot yesterday dealing with removing officials who are accused of sexual harassment. That also passed. What will that initiative do?
So earlier this year, the council passed a new ordinance that basically holds elected officials accountable the same way it holds city staff accountable for sexual harassment and discrimination. So what this vote did was it changed the charter to allow council members to vote to get rid of one another if they're found to have violated that new ordinance.
So, Jessica, this might in some ways be kind of a preview of what city elections may look like in the future, because there are six initiatives on the ballot with everything else that was on the primary ballot. Do we have a sense yet of what we have a sense of sort of what the turnout was like overall for the election? But do we know how many voters made it to the end of the ballot in Phoenix to vote on these measures?
That's a good question. You know, I haven't analyzed that yet, but that is one of the big concerns of people who are opposed to consolidated elections is, you know, you have some really hot races up top. Yesterday we had, you know, a Senate race. We had congressional races. How many people are going to make it down to the end of the ballot? It'll be interesting to see. And you're right, this was kind of a preview of what is to come.
And I know it's early in the day yet, especially for elected officials who maybe were out late last night watching the results. Any sense of what the reaction is at City Hall yet to these initiatives passing?
Well, I know that Councilman Jim Waring and Councilman Sal DeCicco have been pushing for consolidated elections for, you know, more than a decade. So they, I'm sure, are thrilled this morning and were thrilled last night to see this happen, especially with as much with the high percentage of people passing the vote that they had.
All right. That's Jessica Boehm with the Arizona Republic breaking down the ballot measures in the city of Phoenix for us on the ballot yesterday. Jessica, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.